Thanks, Claire. Good evening, everybody. Let me turn this thing. Let's turn to Revelations chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2, we're going to look at the first 5 verses. I'm just going to briefly cover the first 3, and our main text will be in verses 4 and 5. But Revelations 2, and this is the Lord speaking to the churches, the 7 churches in Asia. And he's speaking to the Ephesus, the church at Ephesus here. And we're going to read, we'll read down through verse 5, and then we'll cover the first 3 briefly, and then we'll look at 4 and 5 in more detail. And to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Now, verse 1, he's speaking to the church of Ephesus, and we have the 7 stars, which are the 7 ministers, and the 7 candlesticks are the 7 churches that he's talking to here. And he notice he's walking in the midst of them. At the end of verse 1, he's walking in the midst. He's here now, where his people meet. He's in the midst of us. And you'll notice he nurtures and he cares for us. But look in verse 2, the first phrase, "I know thy works." He knows every thought, every work, and every motive behind these works that we do. And he commends them for their works. They cannot bear them when they're evil, and they've tried them which say they are apostles, and they are patient, and they spread the gospel, and they're zealous for Christ, just as we should be. I mean, we give, we support the missions, we support radio and TV, and it's a good thing to be commended for, and we need to continue that. And the Lord does know that we do these things. He knows all things, and he knows that this church was performing some good works, and we are too, as we spread the gospel of Christ. But he continues in verse 4 with the word "nevertheless." Even though they were performing all these good works, he had something against them. "Nevertheless" is used in the scriptures lots of times, like in Psalms, I think it's 106, where he lists all of Israel's sins and says, "Nevertheless, I will have mercy on you." Well, here, he lists all their good works. But then he says, "Nevertheless, I've got something against thee." And it's still a word of grace because he's given us a warning here. If he did not tell us that you've left our first love, we would continue on with our works and just trust into him and go on. But he gives us a word of grace here, and he warns us that we've left our first love. Leaving your first love is drawing back from Christ, and it's a condition called backsliding, backslidden. It's in the scriptures. I want to look at Proverbs 14, one verse in Proverbs. You can hold your finger there at Revelations 2 or mark it. We'll be coming back to it quite a bit. Proverbs 14, we're talking about how the church had left the first love. I want to see what that, and it's called backsliding. I'd like to see what that actually means. And we'll see here in Proverbs 14, verse 14. "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." We see here from verse 14 that it's a heart condition. It's a condition of the heart. And you might not even see it outwardly. The outward works, the outward efforts all continue. But it's a condition of the heart. You've backslidden in the heart from Christ, and all your words and actions and stuff are still performed outwardly, but they're not performed out of love and faith in Christ. They're just performed as works to prove to yourself and prove to others that you're a believer. But and you're trying to draw assurance from these works, and you're not trusting Christ, and you're not they're not done out of love to Christ. So it's a condition of the heart. Now it's not a eternal bad condition. If you're saved by Christ, you're eternally secure. There's going to be times where you backslide, and He's going to draw you back up. But you're going, and it's not going to be an eternal backslide. If you're one of His, you know, you're preserved forever. But it is a condition of the heart, and it's not a desired state to be in. It's you withdraw from Him, and He will withdraw from you. And that hurts a believer. That, you know, we get physically hurt, but to be spiritually hurt hurts more than physically to me. If He withdraws Himself from you for a while and you can't come near to Him or seek Him in prayer or hear His word when it's preached, that's a bad state to be in. And it's a condition of the heart. It's a backslidden believer. I want to look at an example of this in Isaiah chapter 1. So just turn over right after Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and then Isaiah chapter 1. Now remember all these Old Testament people, countries, Jacob, Israel, Judah. When He's speaking to all Israel and Judah, He's not speaking just to them. He's speaking to all believers, all the elect. So don't read this as just speaking to someone else. This is to us. These words are to us, and they describe us. And I'm going to read the first five verses here and then skip over a little bit. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are going away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You'll revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. Look over in verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Don't bring any more empty offerings. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot. Away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Now look in verse 4. At the end of verse 4, they've gone away backwards. That's a backslidden believer. That's us to an extent on a daily basis. We don't love and follow God out of a pure heart daily. We slide backwards. But here Israel had gone backwards, and it was revealed in verse 5, but the whole head is sick. Their thoughts were wrong, and the whole heart faint. They'd fallen out of love and faith to Christ, and so they continued these works outwardly, but they weren't done out of love and faith to the coming Savior. And so look in verse 14, these worship services that they were continuing in, He says He hates. And I hope, I pray, you know, that's not going on here tonight. I pray we're here met to worship God and trust His Son and hear from Him out of love to Christ and out of faith to Christ. But the Lord knows. The Lord, like we said in that verse, the Lord knows thy works. And He just doesn't know them. He knows them intimately. He knows. It means to have seen or fully perceived, because He knows the motive behind it. He knows what attitude and spirit we brought ourselves here in to worship Him. Did we come here to worship our Father through faith and love in Christ? Or did we just kind of show up out of duty and routine? And, you know, you can fool others, you can fool yourself, but you can't. You never fool God. He knows. He knows why you're here, every one of us. He knows what attitude we have as we sing these hymns of praise to our Savior. Do we sing from the heart praises to our Savior who's gave all for us? Or do we just sit here and kind of listen to the melody and the pitch and kind of listen to other people and get distracted and you're worried about the sound and you repeat the words half-heartedly from memory? You know, it's become a routine. He knows. You know, to an extent, but He knows. He knows the state of our heart while we're listening to our brothers come up here and read the scriptures and lead us in prayer. You know, do you love hearing God's word read? And do you unite with your brother that's up here praying for us? Or do you sit there and listen critically and judge every word he misspeaks or mispronounces and every word he misses? And do you judge the weaknesses and faults of your brother while he's up here? You know, the Lord knows. And he also knows the state of your spirit as you listen to the gospel preached. Is it good news? Is it good news to you? Is it the best news you've heard today or ever? I mean, he knows. Are we here rejoicing in our Savior that's lived and died for us, and the grace of our Father that's elected us and drawn us to Christ and saved our souls and given us eternal life? Does that, you know, this is good stuff we're doing here? Or does it fall on a barren, hard heart, and it brings no joy, and it brings no peace, and your mind constantly wanders? You might pick up every third or fourth sentence, you know, and the time seems to move slow, and there's no joy in your heart as you hear of Christ. The Lord knows. So backslidden is a bad state. It's not falling away permanently from Christ. It's, you know, but you've went away from it. You're doing things out of love to self and love to this world and not love to Him and faith in Him. And He will withdraw from you as you've withdrawn from Him. And it's a sad state to be in. So what does He say to do? He says, you've left your first love. You're doing things now out of love to self and to the world, not to me. What to do? He says, remember. Let's go back to Revelation 2 real quick. Hopefully you marked it. If not, it's not that real hard to find. He commended them in the first three verses, but then verse 4, he condemns them because they've left their first love. In verse 5, he gives the remedy. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember from where you fell from. Let's look at Luke chapter 7. Luke 7, we're going to read of the woman that washes his feet with her tears. And we're looking to see where we fell from. Luke 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when a Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Here's where we fell from. We fell from a sinner at the feet of Christ, trusting and loving him for our salvation. Just as this woman is, that's where, when we first come to Christ, that's how we come at his feet, trusting him and loving him. Now to fall from somewhere, you have to be lifted up. You know, and he did that. He lifted us from dead in trespasses and sins to life in Christ. You know, God did this. He's lifted us up. And when did it happen? When does lifting up happen? When we fell at his feet. So, just like Todd has always said, the way up is down. You fall at Christ's feet. But that's where we've fallen from. We've got drawn away to other principles, other motives, and we've left a sinner at the feet of Christ. And that's where we've fallen from. Now, it's hard to imagine how you could fall from such a low position. You're at the feet of Christ. That's pretty low. But remember, this falling is not a physical fall. It's a fall of the heart. And it's a fall of the heart. It's a fall of the spirit. It can happen anywhere, anytime, with or without outward indications. Like I said before, you can fool yourselves and others, but the Lord knows. And He knows the state of your heart. So you've fallen from a sinner at the feet of Christ, trusting and loving Him. So where did you fall to? Let's turn to Ezekiel 33, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and then Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, we'll start in verse 30. Now, this is where we've fallen to. We've fallen from a sinner at the feet of Christ. And starting in verse 30, I'll read through the end of the chapter. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. So we see in verse 31, here's where we fell to. We fell into a love in word only. They hear thy words, but they will not do them. We love only in words. We're not loving in deed and in truth. And your heart covets and desires this yourself. It covets the world. And love to self, as your love to the self and to this world increases, your love to Christ decreases. And you become backslidden and you're falling away from Him. And the work of Christ living and dying for you doesn't excite your senses anymore. And I'm not talking about physical senses, touch, taste, feel, or sight, or anything. I'm talking about the spiritual senses, the fruits of the Spirit that He's given you as a believer. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, faith, temperance, meekness, all the fruits that He tells us about in Galatians 6. They're falling away. You can't even hardly see them anymore. As your love declines, those fruits decline. And sometimes it may be shown outward, unfortunately. And we all do, you know. You've seen His gentleness and His kindness to you, yet you're harsh and rough with others. You've seen how good He's been to you, yet you don't give freely and you withhold from others. You've seen His long suffering towards you, how long suffering He has been, and yet you're ill and short tempered with others. And you've seen His faithfulness to you, yet you go back on your word with others and you fall from faith in Him and you trust other things in Christ alone. That's a bad state to be in, to where it's not just heart, it's started to come out in your outward actions and your thoughts and your motives and your words and your deeds towards other people. It's a bad state to be in. But He tells us, when you get in that backslidden state, you're to remember where you fell from, a sinner at His feet, trusting Him, in love with Him. And we fell to this love of self and self-righteousness in the world. So He says to repent. Repent means, and it's used here, to think differently or afterwards to reconsider. And so now you've advanced. You think you're somebody now. You've advanced in faith. You're starting to stand by your own strength. And all these good works that the church was doing and that we do, you start relying on them instead of Christ. And so now your eyes are turned to your works instead of to Christ. And you're to repent of that thinking. You're to think differently and to reconsider. And now you're to think that you're still nothing but a sinner saved by grace. That's all you are. That's all you'll ever be. And to think that you've advanced above that is to be thinking wrong. You need to repent of that. And repent and do the first works. Remember from where you've fallen. Repent and do the first works. Let's turn to John chapter 6. And he's talking about doing the first works. And we're talking about works here that we're doing that are no good because they're done for the wrong motive. Yet we're supposed to do a work that is acceptable to in return and do the first works. And here's the work that he's speaking of. John 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And this is the first and only work that we are to do. We're to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. That's our work. Now, he gives us the grace to do that. He calls us. He gives us life. But we're to return and do the first works of trusting Christ alone. That's the remedy for this backslidden state. Now, I want to look at an Old Testament picture of the Israel backsliding and how the Lord brings them back. Let's look in Deuteronomy 29. I'm going to read quite a bit, so I'm going to take a little quick drink of water. Now remember, when he's speaking to Israel, he's not just speaking to the physical country of Israel. He's speaking to every believer, all the elect. So take this as him speaking to you. We always should take the scriptures that way. Deuteronomy 29, we'll start in verse 10. Read down through the chapter. And then a little bit of chapter 30. Verse 10. You stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribe, your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day. That he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace. Though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. And we see here in verse 18 and 19, we see how in the middle of verse 18, their heart has turned away this day from the Lord our God. Once again, it's a heart condition. You may continue outwardly with all the outward religious works, but if your heart turns away, That's the state you don't want to be in. And you walk in the imagination of your heart, your own thoughts, and your ways of self-righteousness so much that at the end of verse 19, you become drunk, intoxicated. And it started as thirst. It started just as a little thirst, a little taste for your works or for self-righteousness. But now it's become drunkenness, intoxicated. You're consumed by your own thoughts and ideas of a God you can control and a God that can be bought and manipulated, and it's a bad state. And Israel was in this state. Their heart had left the Lord. Verse 20, the Lord will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. So that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land, and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it. And here's the sicknesses we saw in Isaiah 1, the whole head and the whole heart were sick and faint. The Lord lays this upon Israel and upon us. In verse 23, the effect is that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth. So we see that the heart becomes barren. The fruits of the Spirit are barren. They're not there. You can't see them anymore. And instead, you see the opposite of what you should be seeing because your heart's turned away from the Lord. And let's see. Like the overthrow of Sodom, continuing in verse 23, and Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath, even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land, as it is this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, continuing down here, and it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. Here's the remember part. Remember in Revelation, remember from where you've fallen. He tells Israel right here, in verse 1 of chapter 30, call them to mind. Remember the blessings. Remember where you've fallen from, fallen as a sinner at the feet of Christ. He's telling them to remember that. Remember where you fell from. And shalt return, verse 2, unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul. So here we see in verse 2, repent and do the first works. Return unto thy first love. That's what we're to do. We're to return to Christ. And it says right here, return unto the Lord thy God. And the remedy for a backslidden believer is not try to work it out, not try to rekindle the emotions, not try anything except to return to Christ. Return to him in faith, and he will return to you. As we see in verse 3, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. He will return to you and have compassion on you. Now notice he won't return until you return to him. And I know that it's still by his grace that we return to him, but that's the order. You return to him, he will return to you, and he will restore that love. Verse 4, if any of thine be driven out into the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. We see in the end of verse 3 that it's the Lord thy God that scattered thee, but he's the one that will also gather thee in verses 4 and 5. And verse 6 will end up here. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Well, here's how you're restored. You can't restore love that you never produced in the first place. You can't restore it, but he can. He will circumcise the heart. He will restore this heart of love and faith in him. You return to him and ask him. Return to him in faith. And you return to the author of your faith, the creator of this love. He will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. And that's, you know, that's how we do this. We remember, we repent, and we return to Christ. I want to conclude in Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Right in front of Isaiah. So we've been talking about remembering from where you've fallen, repenting and returning and doing the first works, trusting Christ. If you've left your first love, you return to Christ. That's the work you're to do. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. I'm going to read the first four verses.
The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love
is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Here's how we return. Verse 4, he draws us. Drawing grace. If you've left him, he's going to draw you back if you're one of his. So, you know, don't despair. If you're feeling, you know, forsaken by him, it won't last. He's going to draw you back, and you'll return to him. And he's going to cause you to remember, towards the end of verse 4, remember thy love. We were to remember his love, not our love, his love. His love that elected me. His love that redeemed me and called me and sanctified me and justified me. His love. And when I remember his great love for me, I'll surely love him. If you've ever seen him and the beauty of what he's done for you, not the physical beauty, but the spiritual beauty of his life and death that he gave for his people. If you ever see the beauty of that, he will be lovely to you, and you will love him. And I do love him for what he's done. And in this remembering of his love, he says here, that's looking to him in faith. When you love to hear what he's done, and you look to him, and you're looking to him in faith, and looking to him in faith, you're united to him, where you're made one with him. And this union with Christ, then, as he's holy and righteous, therefore I am. And so at the end of verse 4, the upright love thee. Well, I'm upright. Every believer is upright in Christ, in his righteousness and his shed blood. And even though you may not feel you love him, and it goes up and down every day and in out every week, the scripture says here you do love him. And if you're a believer, one of his, you love him, because right here the upright love thee. And if you don't have a first love to return to, well, trust him. Go to him in faith. Trust him as your salvation, and he will show you his beauty. He will reveal who he is and what he's done, and you will fall in love with him, because he will give you that love. He gives you that love as a fruit of the Spirit. And if you've left your first love, return to him. Do as his word says. Remember from where you've fallen. You're nothing but a sinner saved by grace. Repent and do the first works. Return to him in faith. And he will restore that love to you. I want to look at one more verse and I'll be done. Psalms 27. Psalm 27. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. And how beautiful he is. How truly beautiful. I pray he gives everyone here a heart of faith to behold him. And to see how beautiful he really is for what he's done for his people. Thank you. Let's pray.